Now we'll do a roll call. The board recorder will conduct a roll call for the record.
Oh. All right. City of Beaverton, Commissioner Sanssouci.
I am here.
City of Hillsborough, Commissioner Judah.
I am also here.
And TVWD, Commissioner Duggan.
Present.
All right, thank you. This concludes roll call. All other attendance will be recorded using Microsoft Teams.
All right, thank you. The first thing on our agenda today is Mr. Dave Kraska, who will present the General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Chair Judah, and good afternoon, Commissioners. So this report provides an overview of the current work efforts in the development of the Willamette Water Supply System under the direction of this commission, beginning with a safety minute presentation. So we got a very brief one for you today, and it is about National Bath Safety Month. So perhaps we all learned something today that January is forever now National Bathroom Safety Month. And why is it important to us? Well, each year, thousands of people of all ages visit the emergency room due to bathroom-related slips and falls. So what could we do to prevent that? Is we can take extra precautions and save ourselves from bathroom injuries, and going with installing no slip mats or strips in the bathtub itself or in the bathroom even. Installing safety bars and grab handles, ensuring that the water temperature is at or around 120 degrees so you don't scald yourself, and childproof the bathroom, especially as this one photo shows. We don't want the little ones falling into the bathtub, especially if there's a little bit of water in there. They can drown in a very small amount of water, so got to be safe about that. And just a couple of other points of note in January, very important here is that January 8th is National Bubble Bath Day, and January 13th is National Rubber Ducky Day. So not a direction for anyone here on this call, but just some interesting information for everybody. So use it as you wish. Continuing on now. With the General Manager's Report, starting off with our permitting and communications update, the Willamette Water Supply Program permitting efforts remain very active. Attached to this General Manager's Report is a tabulation of the permits and approvals recently granted and the status of those currently in process. So we've got a few permitting team highlights that include the City of Sherwood approved our final site plan for the water treatment plant. Next is the Department of Environmental Quality issued the 1200C permit for the Phase 2 of the Metzger Pipeline East project. This Phase 2 permit is for the majority of the MPE 1.2 project, which includes everything but the project staging areas and the crossing of Highway 217 work. DEQ already issued the 1200C permit for the staging areas and the Highway 217 work in September of 2021. And third on the permitting team highlights is the WWSP staff submitted a permit modification to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers and the Department of State Lands for the compressed air pipe repair at the raw water facility site. This pipe was found to be damaged days before the close of the annual in-water work window in October. So upon discovering this damage, staff consulted with the regulatory agencies to request approval to perform this additional work before the close of the in-water work window. The agency has approved completing the repair with the condition that the staff would file the permit modification request after the work was completed. And so we've submitted that paperwork and closed that issue. A few communications team updates or highlights include outreach efforts continued along the Metzger Pipeline East, MPE 1.2 and Shoals Ferry Road project before the start of constructing the two 60-inch diameter tunnels crossing Highway 217. The team oversaw the installation of project signage along Fennel Creek Trail at the Tualatin Hills Park and Recreation District Park. Staff performed additional neighborhood outreach and is preparing a mailer to be released in the weeks leading up to the start of construction. Regarding our design status updates, we're wrapping up our design with only three projects remaining in the final stages of design effort and are proceeding according to plan. And those are just the pipeline projects because all of the above ground facilities design work is complete. Moving on now to construction status updates. Attached to the General Manager's Report is a tabulation of all the projects in construction and their current status. A few highlights include the raw water facilities project. 66-inch welded steel pipe was successfully pressure tested, and the pipeline is now being connected to the completed PLM 1.1 project pipeline that was just to the north. The PLM 5.1 project pipeline was successfully disinfected and passed all tests. The next step is to connect it to the PLM 5.2 pipeline project. And then finally, a second pipeline crew was mobilized to the PLW 1.3 project. That's our pipeline project in South Hillsboro. That allows simultaneous pipeline construction to occur on both sides of Butternut Creek. The current progress on this project is ahead of schedule. Number four is our steel market exposure update. And though the price of steel remains high relative to the cost of 1 year ago, current market data indicates that the price of steel is declining. The market price of hot rolled band, the material used to fabricate WWSS transmission pipe, decreased by approximately 9.1% in the fourth quarter 2021. Current pricing is consistent with pricing from July 2021. Market forecasters project steel prices to decrease into 2022. Staff are continuing to monitor the steel market and are not recommending a change in construction procurement plans and strategies at this time. And the last item in the general management report is acceptance of financial statements and report of the independent auditor. One item on the consent agenda for today's meeting is to consider accepting by motion both the financial statements for fiscal year ended June 30, 2021, and the report of the independent auditor. As managing agency, TVWD has prepared the WWSS Commission's financial statements for fiscal year ended June 30, 2021. Moss Adams LLP, the Commission's independent auditor, has completed its audit of these financial statements. Moss Adams has provided an unmodified opinion of the Commission's financial statements. An unmodified opinion is commonly referred to as a clean audit. Acceptance of the financial statements and report of the independent auditor by the Commission Board validates the filing of the financial statements with the Oregon Secretary of State as required by Oregon law. And that concludes today's General Manager's Report. I'd be glad to take any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Dave. Any questions? I see Commissioner Sansucci shaking his head no. Commissioner Duggan, how about you? Nope. All right, anybody else have questions?
Not seeing any.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next item on today's agenda is public comment. Public comment time is set aside for persons wishing to address the board on items on the consent agenda and matters not on the agenda. Additional public comment will be invited on agenda items as they are presented. Do we have any person or persons who would like to comment? Mr. Kraska, do you have anybody lined up for that today?
I don't see any today. Annette, are there any?
No, we don't have any today.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. We'll move along to the consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered to be routine and may be enacted in one motion without separate discussion. Any board member may request that an item be removed by motion for discussion and separate action. Any items requested to be removed from the consent agenda for separate discussion will be considered immediately after the board has approved those items which do not require discussion. First thing today is item A, which is to approve the December 2nd, 2021 meeting minutes, and B, accept the financial statements and reports of independent auditor for the fiscal year ended on June 20, 2021. Do I have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda as presented? And please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and second for this item.
This is Commissioner Duggan. I so move.
Commissioner Sansucci seconds.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsboro?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the motion passes. Okay, on to our business agenda. The first item today is the election of officers for 2022. Mr. Kraska is once again in the hot seat.
Thank you again, Chair Judah. So each year at this time, we need to elect officers to the board or of the board. We do this by board members making nominations and requesting a motion and a second before a roll call vote. Currently, Dave Judah is our chair and Jim Duggan is the vice chair. Before I hand it off to you all to take this action, also made a note in the staff report that we're currently recommending the board consider 2-year terms for officer appointments. We're recommending this as an informal action, not as a formal change to the IGA at this time. We just feel that having 2-year terms might be beneficial from the standpoint of just stability and a better practice at the board at this time, as busy as it is. So it's just a consideration for you as you move forward. If you were to do that, Chair Judah would remain as chair for another year, and Vice Chair Duggan would remain as vice chair for another year. So with that, I'll hand it back to you to take this action.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions for Mr. Kraska before we proceed with discussion? Yes, Commissioner Sanssouci.
Not a question. I was going to make a motion.
Okay, well, the floor is now open for election of officers for the WWSS Board of Commissioners for calendar year 2022. We're going to start with the board, for the board chair. Do I have a nomination for the board chair? As a reminder, please state your name prior to making the nomination.
Yes, Commissioner Sanssouci from Beaverton nominates Dave Judah to be the chair for the next year.
And this is Commissioner Duggan. I'll second that motion.
All right, thank you. We have a motion and a second for the chair. My notes don't say so, but I assume we're going to take a roll call vote again. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, please proceed with that.
All right, City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. That motion passes. Now, do I have a motion and a second for the commissioner to serve as a board chair for, let's see, this is a little confusing here, I'm sorry. I guess the first one is a nomination and the second one was a motion and a second, so we've already done that. Now we need to do the same procedure for the board vice chair. Do we have a motion and a second for Commissioner Duggan to serve as the board vice chair for the calendar year 2022?
Yes, Commissioner Sanssouci from Beaverton will nominate Jim Duggan to be the vice chair for the next year.
This is Commissioner Judah from Hillsborough. I second that. All right, we have a motion and a second. The board recorder will now conduct the voting roll call for the record.
All right, City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
I'll accept the nomination and yes.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you all for that. The motion passes for both the chair and the vice chair. Okay, the next item that we have today is consider adopting resolution number WWSS-01-22, declaring a public necessity to acquire property interests over, upon, under, and through real property for pipeline section PLM 5.3 of the Willamette Water Supply System Commission. Ms. Bennett will present the staff report.
Thank you, commissioners. The Willamette Water Supply System's PLM 5.3 project is located in rural Washington County between Tile Flat Road and Rosedale Roads. This project requires one additional resolution of need to update the declared real property need on a single property to allow WWSP to maintain business traffic across the construction work area. This adjustment increased the acquisition area. The property owner has been working with us to minimize impacts to their operations, which in turn reduces easement cost and compensable damages for WWSS. We look forward to continuing this positive relationship with the owner through the remainder of the acquisition process. To conclude, it is very likely that this is the last time for many years that I will read the following to you. The commission has authority to acquire real property for its needs. The PLM 5.3 pipeline alignment was selected through extensive alternatives evaluations, and the preferred location was selected based on the best interests of the public and the least injury to private property owners. This resolution enables the Commission's agents, including the program team, to begin negotiating with respective property interest holders and also authorizes the acquisition of property interests by eminent domain to the extent negotiations fail. Staff recommend approval of the proposed resolution. May I answer any questions?
Mr. Chair? And you are on mute, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. I pushed that button, but it didn't remove it, I guess. I wanted to say thank you for that, and we will miss your reading from now on this subject. And are there any questions for Ms. Bennett?
Yes, I do have a question, if I could.
All right.
I'm having just a little bit of difficulty locating something that says what amount of square footage or acreage of right-of-way needs to be acquired under this action.
There should be a square footage total on the legal description, which follows the resolution in the packet.
Okay. I've just been having a little bit of trouble finding that. Okay. Yeah.
If you do you have the bookmarks open?
Oh, there it is. Okay, I see.
Updated legal.
Got it. So thank you for that clarification. I think just the small point that I'll make, it has absolutely nothing to do with agreeing with this. And you know if, when the time comes, I'll be happy to either move or second the requested action. But I noted that there isn't anywhere indicated in here the amount of money estimated to be involved in acquiring this right of way. It's probably buried someplace in the budget, but it might be a good practice in the future to have the budget estimate for this particular activity included in the item here in the packet.
Thank you, Commissioner. And when we have multiple properties addressed in a resolution, we do include the budget. But when it's a single property, in order to maintain confidentiality on our estimate, our budget estimate for that acquisition, we don't include the budget in the staff report. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Thank you. Because it wasn't entirely clear to me. And again, that probably comes to my not being as experienced as I should be at reading real estate surveyor documents, mm-hmm. that this was just one property.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I have a follow-up question to that answer. I was thinking you were going to respond by saying we don't discuss any numbers like that except in executive session when it comes to property acquisition or those types of things until that is finished. Is that correct? Is that what you were indicating, or you said it differently? So
if it were a single property, we would have addressed it that way in a confidential manner. But when we do other resolutions of need, we usually are acting on several properties at once. And so it's an aggregate budget. So somebody couldn't pull apart what we're budgeting for a specific property.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Kraska?
Yeah, if I could just add to what Joelle just said. So this is a resolution of need. So it's at the very beginning of our negotiations with the property owner. So when we complete the transaction, when we're ready to act on it, then we'll have a budget amount when we've finalized the negotiations. But at the very beginning, we're about to enter into negotiations for all the reasons that Joelle said is why we don't have this in our staff report. Hopefully that's helpful.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Sanssouci, did you get your answers there? Anything else on that?
Yeah. And from my work at the city, I'm very familiar with the need for confidentiality on that stuff. It's just that parsing through the language of this memo, the way that it's put together, it isn't entirely obvious unless you're really drilling down into some of the paragraphs that we're talking about one property. So that's why I got confused. Thank you.
No, thank you. Point taken.
All right. Thank you. Are there any other questions? All right. Hearing none, do I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution WWSS-01-22 declaring the public necessity to acquire property interests over, upon, under, and through real property for pipeline section PLM 5.3 for the Willamette Water Supply System Commission? Once again, please remember to state your name prior to making the motion and the second for this action.
Commissioner Sanssouci will move the requested board action.
Commissioner Duggan seconds.
All right, thank you. We have a motion and a second. The board recorder will now conduct a voting roll call for the record.
All right, thank you. City of Beaverton?
Yes.
City of Hillsborough?
Yes.
And TVWD?
Yes.
Right, thank you.
All right, thank you. The motion passes. All right, so we have reached the information item section of today's agenda, and Mr. Kraska again will present a staff report on market conditions and outlook.
Thank you, Chair Judah. So the information I'm about to share with you here should look pretty familiar to Chair Judah, Vice Chair Duggan. This is information I've shared with you before. Commissioner Sanssouci, this presentation may look new to you. I've shared it, a version of this with Mayor Beatty a couple of weeks ago to preview the information essentially. And also for your information, Commissioner Sanssouci, a version of this presentation I also plan to share with the Beaverton City Council on Tuesday night. So I'm going to be on the agenda for Tuesday night to give an update on the market conditions and kind of the outlook of the overall program costs. And so anyway, so as I'm making this presentation, or maybe at the end of it, I'd appreciate any comments or advice you might have in terms of whether it's the right level of depth and detail information for that audience as well. I'd appreciate any feedback you might have. But anyways, yep, okay, great. So let's go ahead and get into it and get into the next slide here. So this slide is a reminder about where we're at in the program over the next handful of months here as we're bidding basically all of the remaining construction work on the program. Right now, what we have in the bidding process is highlighted there on this graphic. It's our treatment plant project, broken up into a couple of different pieces, a reservoir and PLM 5.3 guaranteed maximum price. We completed a bidding and execution of the contract for POW 1.2 with Washington County. We also have a PLM 1.3 project in Wilsonville, and our PLM 4.3 and PLM 4.4 projects in Sherwood that are in the bidding process as well. And so every single month, almost every single month from here through August, we're going to be bidding and accounting for all of our remaining construction activities. Next slide, please. So the reason that I'm talking to you here today is there's been a dramatic change in terms of the cost of two of our major projects. And so as opposed to just an informal or just kind of an update of where we're at in the project costs, we felt it necessary to do basically a deep dive as far as where these project costs are coming in. And so here are the two largest projects that we just recently bid. On the left-hand side is our RES 1.0 PLM 5.3 project. And on the right-hand side, our water treatment plant project. It's going through the RES 1.0 PLM 5.3 project. That is a CMGC. Both of these are CMGC projects, meaning construction manager general contractor, which means we have a contractor that we've been working with through the design phase. This contractor breaks up the project into a number of bid packages. For the reservoir PLM 5.3 project, it was about 40 bid packages that they then bid out competitively individually. Then basically the low bids or the selected bidder on all of those comprise together for the guaranteed maximum price, the GMP. Same thing on the water treatment plant. We have a CMGC on that one who is Sunt, and that one was broken up into about 70 or so bid packages and pulled together for the GMP. On the RES 1.0 PLM 5.3 project, the baseline value that we have, the budget essentially that we have for that project is $117 million. Our final negotiated price on that one is around $143 million. So you can see there, we're on the order of about $30 million high on this particular project. We had intended to bring this project forward for board action today at the January 6th meeting, but given this information and also the information we've gotten for the treatment plant, we're holding off on that one for a little bit. And I'll explain a little bit later about why we're targeting the January 20th special board meeting. I'll explain that a little bit later in my presentation. For the treatment plant, that one, we had a baseline value with an earmark in our management reserve combined for $292 million, basically is the budget for that project. And the final value for the GMP for that one right now is at $427 million. So that's about $130 million more than our budget. And that's currently a draft value that we're currently negotiating and working with the contractor. I expect it to come down somewhat, but obviously it's not going to come anywhere near our budget. So right now we're working with the contractor. We intended to have a final submittal from the contractor on January 12th. We'll still push for that, But with given this gap and how much work we have to do on this, I expect we're going to be in negotiations with this contractor for a while. We had intended to bring this to the board on February 3rd, but rather I'm going to push that out 1 month to March 3rd to give us more time to work with the contractor and also more time for the agencies to evaluate the financial impacts of these budget changes. So next slide, please. So given these dramatic changes in the value of these projects, one of the questions we asked ourselves was about the quality of these GMPs, the quality of these guaranteed maximum prices. We wanted to basically challenge both of them to say, you know, can we really count on these numbers? Are these really good values? Are there any holes that we could poke in it to see where we've missed anything? So on the left-hand side, here's all the things that we considered. We evaluated market outreach in terms of how aggressively were these projects advertised to the bidding market, to the contractors, subcontractors, material suppliers, equipment suppliers, and so on. We evaluated how many bidders there were per package, meaning was there adequate competition for all of the different packages that comprise each of these projects. What about bid spreads? So if you have very wide bid spreads on your projects, that would tell you that the quality of your construction documents is probably not very good, because if you have wide bid spreads from one bidding contractor to another, that tells you that the contractors see these projects very differently, and it would tend to indicate to you might have some work to do on your construction documents and some risk, really, if there's a widespread. And then finally, we evaluated our vetting process. It was like, what did we do to go through and deep dive through each of these GMPs to make sure that they were assembled properly and that we evaluated really what the contractor did in terms of all of these various things that I'm going to get into in here a second, so I'll explain. So on the Res 1.0 PLM 5.3 project, our contractor on that one is a joint venture of Hoffman and Fowler. And what they did is they performed pretty extensive local organizations outreach in terms of advertising this work and identifying potential bidders. They had a number of pre-bid meetings with potential subs and vendors, a lot of advertisements and early bids, and they maintain a website for advertising the project. I believe about 6,000 advertisements were sent out to basically generate as much interest as possible in this work. So from that, how many bidders per package did we get? This shows how many on the larger elements of this particular project, how many bidders there were. So for $5.5 million of the work, there was only one bidder. Now that might be a bit of a concern, but really it's not, because this is the majority of this $5.5 million was related to the reservoir construction activity. And for the reservoir work, which is actually the pre-stressing of the structure itself, there's only one contractor that does that. So it's not surprising that this amount, we only have one bidder. For $10.2 million of the construction, we have two bidders. $74.9 million, we have three bidders. And for another $2 million, we have more than three bidders. So this is a really simplified summation of it, but we did get good competition on the various bid packages on this. Now, when we look at the bid spreads on this, what we're comparing is the low bid to the second low. And on the earthwork, pipeline installs, and the electrical, all of them are very tight. All of them are very close. Earthwork, 2.1%, pipeline installation, 1.8%, electrical, 0.8%. Very, very tight bids on that. The structural concrete is off a bit, and I believe that's one that we're looking into, but it's off by 14.4%, which isn't that bad, but still something worth considering. And then finally, in the vetting process, what did we do about that? Well, as I mentioned, this project was broken up into 40 separate bid packages that our team reviewed in detail. We negotiated the leveling with the contractor. And what we mean by leveling is each one of these package, you have a subcontractor or equipment supplier or material supplier bidding on a particular package. Oftentimes the individual bidders will exclude certain elements of a package. And so if you're trying to compare apples to apples from one bidder to the next, and one has everything and the other has exclusions, our general contractor has to go back in there and figure out what value, what amount of money to add to the bid that has the exclusions. And that's what we call bid leveling, to make sure that we're comparing apples to apples. Our team reviewed all of that bid leveling work. We had experienced construction cost estimators and other subject matter experts involved in that to make sure that our general contractor was being fair in that evaluation and that we were doing apples to apples comparisons. We also did a detailed review of the general conditions in terms of what's the contractors adding to that in order to perform all of the work, early staff negotiations, and we determined an escalation allowance for this. So for the Res 1.0 PLM 5.3, we believe that now that we're at this $143 million, that this is a high quality guaranteed maximum price, an appropriate and correct representation of the current market for this work. I won't go through all the detail for the treatment plant because it's really the same story. Sunt, our general contractor, did extensive market outreach. Oh, I'm sorry, Chair Judah, you have a question.
Dave, if I may, before we get onto the second one, I need you to help get my mind wrapped around this. So if I look at the bid packages, that comes to $95 million, yet we're talking about $147. Where's the other $50 million? Are they all in less than $2 million packages?
No. And that's an excellent question. I should have been prepared for that. I'm going to see if I can phone a friend. Maybe Mike Bridge might have an answer for that. Cause I remember we discussed that when my team was first sharing this information with me. I know there's an answer for it. I just don't remember what it is. And Mike, I can't see on my screen if you're on the call or anyone or remember.
I don't know that I have a great answer off the top of my head. I think part of it too, so this is our recent bidding. If you remember, we also bid out the pipeline materials earlier, so I don't believe that's probably included in this, and that's in $15 to $20 million range. And probably on top of all these are probably more related to kind of either the raw bid amounts and or the leveled bid amounts for comparison, and so there's markups that would be on top of all this. So that would be my guess of how you make up the difference, is the add in the earlier pipe pre-purchase of the materials, add up the markups, and then general conditions is probably how you build out to the total number, would be my guess.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, thank you. And I'm going to assume your answer is going to be similar for the WTP item over there, which also doesn't, it says 60% of cost, but even that doesn't come up to 50% of what's budgeted. So
we have so we broke out the data on that one a little differently. So the way we summed it up over in the Res 1.0 PLM 5.3 project, and really this discussion is clarifying for me, we got to make these things the same. And actually I prefer the way we showed it on the treatment plant project, because what we looked at there is the largest bid packages. So the largest bid packages were the concrete for the whole project, earthwork and utilities, the process installation and electrical. Those are basically our largest bid packages. As I mentioned, there's about 70 bid packages. All of the ones below this, we have various bid packages that are in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. They're not even the millions of dollars. And things like doors, windows, roofing, the much, much smaller bid packages. So these are the major ones that we wanted to make sure that we had a lot of competition on. And so for concrete, we got two bids. And this is another one of the challenges of the market right now, is our contractor identified, I believe, five different contractors to bid on the concrete work and got commitments from those contractors that they were all going to bid on it. And when it actually came down to bid day, a lot of them said, you know what, we're just too busy. We can't pull a bid together for you. We've got too much work as it is. And so, but we did get two bids on this one. And so the low bid on that one was $41 million. Earthwork and utilities, the low bid on that one was $57 million. Process and installation, about $49 million. Electrical, we actually got five bids. And that was surprising, frankly, to everybody on the team, because we've heard across the board that the electrical contractors are very busy, but the fact that they were that competitive on our project is a really good thing. The number is still way high, but we did get a lot of competition on this project, and the low bid on that one's $41 million. And then if you look to the next row below there, it's like, what about the quality, the bid spreads? Concrete, 2.5% across the bids. We feel that's an excellent result. Earthwork and utilities, 0.03% between the two bids. That's $20,000 over $57 million. So that shows that they're very tight, which means the contractors saw them practically identically. They just a small difference in their approach in terms of who won that bid. Process installation, 15%. Again, that's a little bit higher than we would like it to be. But this is actually another good thing for us, is that the low bid on this one is actually our CMGC contractor, Sunt. And so the fact that they're the low bidder and that they're able to win this one, to me, tells me that they know more about this, so they understood how to get it done better than the other contractors because they were involved in the design work, and they found ways to save money in getting the work done. And so it's a good result for us that they were low. Still, again, the number is still too high, but it's the value what it is right now. Going down to the vetting process, even more extensive vetting process on this massive project. We collected a subset of our team, including Mike Bridge and a lot of our subject matter experts, to go down to Arizona and spend a week in our contractor's home office to go through all 70 bid packages, to go through, evaluate all of them in terms of, and just make sure that they're all appropriate and correct, and the leveling is done correctly and everything else, and basically ensure that we have a good, clear understanding of how the guaranteed maximum price is gonna be assembled. This one's a little bit, like I mentioned, is still a work in progress. We're still working with the contractor and negotiating this work and going back and forth on GCs and some other issues. So this one we're not final on. We've still got a few more weeks of work on this one before we get to a final GMP. Before I go to the next slide, any questions about this information? Okay, let's go to the next slide. So again, the costs are still way too high. And so what we had hoped to do is to figure out what are the drivers for these high costs, what's making them so far above budget, and maybe assign some quantification to these various elements. What we found in this work is that we were able to identify what's influencing the costs, but to try to assign an exact value to each one of these things would be a massive amount of work, and frankly, I don't think would provide value to this board or to the management committee or really to our decision making. Basically what we have is, as I mentioned in the prior slide, we have good guaranteed maximum prices. This is the price for this kind of work in this location at this time. Now, what's driving it? It's all of these things on the left-hand side. It's supply chain interruptions, labor availability, just finding people to do this work is getting very, very difficult. Trucking and shipping challenges and costs. Project duration, the longer these projects are, the more risk there is to the contractors and holding to prices, and so that's part of the pricing, along with that market escalation. Some bid exclusions that we're addressing, and then general material and market uncertainty. There's also some project elements that there's, and what this means is, from our baseline budget buildup, what were the budget numbers in the baseline 6.1 derived from? There have been some project changes that influence the cost as well. But they're fairly small. For the reservoir PLM 5.3 project, there's a retaining wall and security system and some other things that are fairly minor in terms of their cost impacts. On the treatment plant, a little bit more significant, but nothing driving the $130 million that were over budget on that one. Basically some scope clarifications on the half street improvements for 124th Avenue. And some other City of Sherwood requirements. So next slide, please. So in this next slide, in last month, back in December, with this information, we looked out to the market or to other agencies and tried to figure out, is it just us or is this a broader impact to the construction market? And what we find is that our recent GMPs are consistent with prevailing market conditions. So on the left-hand side here, San Francisco Public Utility Commissions has been bidding a lot of work and seen some significant impacts, and so they're concerned about it. They did a deep dive into what's driving it, what are the causes, and they also wanted to understand what it means for their future financial planning. And so what they're, this is just a few bullets from this large amount of work that they did, but basically some key items are that they're seeing construction activity increasing rapidly due to pent-up demand. What they saw is some layoff of some of the construction activity during the beginning of the pandemic that is now compressed and adding challenges to getting work done now. Large increases in raw materials prices and labor shortages for getting all this work done. So basically going forward, what they're telling their finance staff is to anticipate bids to continue coming in 30 to 40% overestimate. That's what San Francisco was planning for going forward in their CIP planning. A quote from the Association of General Contractors of America is that the construction industry is in the midst of a period of exceptionally steep, fast rising costs for a variety of materials. So we've talked about that a lot. And then finally, from Clark Construction Market Insight back in Q3 of 2021, what they note is all indicators denote a large amount of work coming to the market in the next 12 months and beyond. And so what that tells us is that this is not a temporal issue that's going to go away quickly. This is likely going to stick around for quite a while as we're trying to get this work done. I had a long conversation with the principal at Sunt, our contractor for the treatment plant project, and I had a lot of questions for him, and he had some answers, and these are some of the answers that he gave to me. And I mean, and it's been verified with other conversations I've had with other contractors and other people I know in the industry that these experiences, these cost impacts are being experienced across the country. It's not just us, but in smaller markets with limited competition like Oregon, the increases are higher because there's not as much competition as there are in the larger metropolitan markets like a San Francisco or Los Angeles. So some of the impacts that we're seeing are perhaps a bit magnified from where they are elsewhere. So increases are due in part to current market uncertainty combined with long project duration. And so he mentions that basically everyone is short on staff. They're all the contractors, everyone, all the delivery, everything, admin, crafts, delivery, everyone's short on staff. And no one's certain of direction materials prices would take. And the GMPs have to hold into 2025 for these long duration projects. And he mentioned that the construction industry is not seeing a let up even with the higher prices. And so this is another influencer is that the contractors are putting these higher prices on these projects. And owners like us are basically just saying, okay, well, we have to keep moving forward. He also mentioned that we're not in competition just with like ODOT or Washington County or other public agencies, that we're in competition with the private industrial market as well. This statement here is basically they have hard deadlines too, and they're willing to pay whatever it takes to meet those deadlines, including paying a premium to get the craft that they need. And then finally, I mentioned to him that in terms of comparing our performance on staying on budget with our bids, that we're pretty good on the pipelines and we're struggling on these facilities type projects. And he said they're very different, that with a facilities type project, like on the treatment plant, there will be at the peak, there will be about 300 people working on that site of all different trades and crafts and experiences and for a long duration. And you can imagine the labor component of that cost and what that does with all these things that we're considering here. Whereas with a pipeline project, he explains, look, with a pipeline project, all of his materials are purchased within the first 30 days following notice to proceed. So he has that certainty in terms of his project costs. And then he's got a very contained team that gets the project done in a linear fashion. So the risks associated with a pipeline project are very different from these facilities project in this current market. Next slide, please. So then over the last few weeks, my team also worked to try to gather as much recent bid project information, good quality bid project information that we could to basically get some data for us to evaluate what else is going on out there for similar types of like facilities type projects. And these are projects bid from last year and show basically similar sort of challenges. So we have the owner, the project, and these are the projects that we could get all of this information. So owner, project, the estimate for the project, so basically the budget, and then the median bid for those projects, and then basically the comparison there. So without going through this line by line, you can see it for yourself. On average, or the median of all of this information, is all of those projects bid 42% high. And so again, just another data point to say, to indicate this isn't just us, this is like reality for this type of work in this market right now. Next slide, please. So what does this mean for us? So as I mentioned, in early December, we started getting this information on the treatment plant cost and the RES 5.3 cost, and we're working through this now, as I mentioned. What I asked the team to do is we need to figure out what this means for the program overall, because right now we're in the process of building up baseline 7.0 for the next fiscal year. And we need to basically be honest with ourselves and say, look, the market appears to have changed. What does this mean for the rest of the program? And what should we be planning for now, just so that we're honest with ourselves about this? And so that's what this graph shows right here, is that our preliminary evaluation of the market conditions on remaining work forecasts overall $315 million increase. And so what that means is that we've been talking about for years a $1.3 billion program. We need to basically what our best estimate is right now is adding $315 million to that, our $1.6 billion program. So, and it breaks down in this way. So the recent bids, so this, the two-thirds of that, the 68%, is $214 million, and that's the treatment plan to the RES 5.3 project with all the additional project costs added to it. So construction management, project management, things of that nature. Basically, the all-in cost for that increase is almost $215 million. And remember that graph at the very beginning that showed all of the remaining projects that we have to bid. So if we look at those and we try to figure out where those might come in this market, what we're forecasting right now at our best estimating right now is about $69 million higher on those. So that's about another quarter or 22%. This PGE $21.5 million, what that value is that we know that PGE is going to have a cost related to providing power to the treatment plant and providing power to our raw water facilities, our pump station down at the Willamette River. They haven't been very helpful, frankly, to date in terms of telling us how much that's going to be. A couple of weeks ago, they finally gave us a window into that and gave us a little bit of information that helps us quantify what that might look like. And so what we did is we took that information and basically tried to figure out what it meant for the treatment plant, what it meant for the raw water facilities, and basically we're putting that in as a capital cost right now. Now, at the end of the day, it might not be there. At the end of the day, when we finally work everything out with PGE, it may be just something that they get through rates recovery as opposed to being a capital outlay right now. But we don't know that yet. We don't know that from PGE. They haven't been very forthcoming with that. So right now we're planning conservatively, and we have that in there right now, basically as a capital outlay. And I'm telling you this just to be transparent and just to kind of underscore what we're trying to do here is to be conservative at this time, because none of us want to go through this again. And then some other refinements in terms of CM staffing for all this work, our system-wide costs, and our contract administration. All of those together add up to the $315 million increase. So then the next slides show what does this mean by partner. So if we compare this early release draft version of baseline 7 to our current budget of baseline 6.1, here is how it breaks down, the center column there, how it breaks down for Beaverton, Hillsborough, Sherwood, Tigard, TVW, and Wilsonville. Now, the reasons why Sherwood, Tigard, and Wilsonville are on this graph, if it's not obvious, is that there is some impact of cost influence on the WIF, on the Willamette Intake Facilities. And so since they are partners in that, they're fairly small amounts in comparison, but still there is some cost impact to them as well. So this center line is the comparison of how it breaks down. And again, just being transparent, these are early numbers, and so they could be high or low. So we just add plus or minus 10% on that to give you an idea of how it breaks down for the $315 million. Let me get through two more slides, and then I'll take a pause, and we can go back to any slides. So the next slide is just a revised comparison. What about comparing it to baseline 5.2? is that there have been questions that I've received in the from time to time is that baseline 5.2 was higher than baseline 6.1. So if we compare it to that, the numbers look like this, basically a bit smaller. You can see in that center column, it's $265 million versus $315. So basically just additional data that's been requested from us. So one more slide to wrap this up, and then we'll break for questions. So where are we at right now today? So the financial evaluations are underway, but schedule maintenance remains a key concern. So there's really not much time to rest at all right now. Next click. So the program back on December 28th provided the updated cash flow spreadsheets, what we're calling the early release version of baseline 7, to the partners. And so next click. So we wanted to get that out as quickly as we possibly could so the finance teams can review the impacts of these cost changes. And then we have a finance coordination meeting scheduled for January 11th. So I believe that's next Tuesday. We're getting the finance groups from all the agencies together to coordinate our analysis of this new information. Next slide. So we're targeting a January 20 approval of the GMP for the RES 1.0 PLM 5.3 project. And doing so is critical to staying on schedule for the permitted work for that project. What we're up against on that one is there's some tree clearing work that we need to get the contractor out there and doing before March so that we can stay ahead of the bird nesting season. And there's also some in-water work through some wetland areas that based on the schedule of their work, that if we miss these opportunities, we could miss a year of work. And so it's critical that we try to get through some of this financial evaluation as quickly as possible so that we can at least take action on the RES 1.0 PLM 5.3 project at the January 20 special meeting. Then one more click. Similarly, for the treatment plant, right now, based on my discussions with the contractor, March 3rd is critical to maintain schedule. And that one, as opposed to permit issues, it's more to avoid having to rebid work. They're letting me know that in this market these days, their material suppliers, their subcontractors and everything just aren't willing to hold their prices. We're going to try everything we can to force them to do so. It's in their contract, but it's just a really difficult market right now. They're worried that they may have to rebid some work and we may have costs that are higher than what we're currently dealing with now. So I'm just letting you know that everything we can do to try to stay on this schedule should be able to hold us to this. But that's just what I needed to communicate to you today. So that's the end of my presentation. I'd be glad to go back to take any questions and go back to any slides and answer any questions you might have.
All right, thank you, Dave. Questions, please. Anybody have any questions?
Sure. Not so much a question, it's just some comments. First of all, thank you very much for the very thorough analysis of the factors involved in this and for considering all the possibilities and gathering information from Sund and others about what's really going on out there in the world of large project bidding, which is obviously fairly ugly from a financial point of view. I think to the best of anybody's ability, you've made it possible for us to feel confident that we understand what's going on. So that's great. I'll suggest if you would maybe to send me a copy of this PowerPoint presentation, and Dave, I will send you back a city councilor audience perspective on it and give you some annotations, and you can use that perhaps to prepare your presentation to the Beaverton City Council.
Excellent. I'd really appreciate that. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments from Mr. Kraska?
This is Commissioner Duggan. I'd like to echo Commissioner Sanssouci's evaluation of the work, and I got all my questions answered in the previous iterations that I've seen. So thank you very much, Dave.
Welcome.
All right. Anybody else have any questions for hands that I can't see?
Not seeing any hands raised.
All right, Dave, I also want to echo what the other two commissioners said. Thank you for all that information. Now we just got to figure out how the WWSS can get a larger chunk of the infrastructure bill that Congress is wanting to hand all sorts of money out on.
Absolutely.
To help support this, even if it includes increasing our WIFIA loan to match the changes that go here. So I'm glad you're getting all the finance people together. Do not let them out of the room until this is resolved. So we're gonna twist your arm on that one.
I got my marching orders. But done.
All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
The next item on information items today, letter B, Ms. Bennett will present a staff report on the business agenda items planned for the February WWSS Commission Board meeting.
Thank you, Commissioners. There are 5 anticipated action items over the next month. The first item is approval of the Res 1 PLM 5.3 guaranteed maximum price for construction, as Dave just reviewed with you. Once a recommendation to proceed is secured from all the management committee members, this item will be brought to the board. The remaining items are anticipated business agenda items for the February 3rd board meeting. The second item from the staff report is the PLM 4.2 Washington County Land Use and Transportation Construction Agreement. The design of the partnered project on Tualatin Sherwood Road Pipeline and Roadway Project is nearly complete, and we are readying bidding documents. The construction IGA will specify how the partnered project will be constructed and define each agency's specific responsibilities. Washington County will be the lead agency. At the next board meeting, staff plan to present the proposed intergovernmental agreement with a recommendation to adopt it through resolution. The third item is the Sherwood Emergency Intertie IGA. The WWSS and City of Sherwood desire to establish an interconnection between the two systems near the future WWSS treatment plant. This IGA will describe the allowable uses for the intertie, allocation of initial capital costs, as well as ongoing operations and maintenance costs, agreement terms and renewals, and finally how either party can terminate the agreement in the future. At that February board meeting, staff plan to present the proposed IGA with a recommendation for approval. Fourth item, PLM 1.3 contract for construction. The program is delivering the PLM 1.3 pipeline project utilizing a best value approach. We published the request for proposals on November 8th, and we received 4 responses. Written proposals were due December 16th, and the price proposals are being opened publicly today. At that February board meeting, we plan to present the proposed contract with a recommendation for approval. The final item is the Water Treatment Plant 1.0 guaranteed maximum price for construction. Although listed in the staff report as a February item, this is now planned to come before the board on the March 3rd meeting, and so as such, I will provide a brief summary next month. This concludes the summary of upcoming action items. Are there any questions I can answer?
Thank you very much. Any questions on this one? All right, no questions. Proceed to item C, which is an announcement just to make sure everybody understands. There is a special board meeting scheduled for January 20th, 2022 at noon via Microsoft Teams, which I believe everybody should have got their electronic invites and on their calendars by now. Our next regular scheduled board meeting, item D here, is going to be on February 3rd, 2022 at noon, again via Microsoft Teams. Do we know if we're going to have an executive session that day or not?
I don't believe so. I don't think we have any items, any big executive session items for that meeting.
All right. That wraps up the information items, as long as there's no questions on any of those. The next item is communication and non-agenda items, of which we have none scheduled for today's meeting. Mr. Kraska, let me ask you, is there anything else that we need to cover? Does anybody have any questions for today before we move to adjournment?
I'm not aware of anything else that needs to come before the board today. I think we're good.
All right, fellow commissioners, I can see your heads. You're all nodding. You're good for the day. All right, perfect. Be no further business before the board. This meeting is adjourned. Once again, thank you very much.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Thank you so much.
Stay dry. Well,
do our best. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye.
Okay. So.